Okay, thank you.
I got it.
Any further amendments? Okay, so may I have a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Approval of the Academic Senate meeting minutes of February 7, 2013. May I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're going to skip to what was number 4, special motions. It is now number 3, which is election to fill nominating committee seats. Okay.
What is open in the nominating committee?
Okay. In the faculty, math and natural science, for students, education, and arts and humanities. Are there any nominations? Okay. Announcements.
Okay. Hi, Kevin Ferguson, Department of English, Associate Director of Writing at Queens. Just wanted to tell you that Writing at Queens is hosting a workshop presentation discussion about College Writing 2 on March 20th during free hour in the Presidential Room in Rosenthal Library. You'll get an email next week with other dates, but just that might be of interest to you. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes?
Hi, everyone. My name's Megan. I am a special events manager for the American Cancer Society. And this is Michelle. She's a student here on the track team. We just wanted to take a minute and tell you about an event that we have on campus, Relay for Life. We had the event last year. It wasn't that publicized, so we really want to get the word out this year. For those of you that don't know, Relay for Life is a 12-hour overnight fundraiser that raises funds to help the American Cancer Society provide programs and services and fund research to help with breakthroughs in cancer. So last year, the event raised almost $12,000, which is great, but this year we're aiming to raise even more and get even more people on campus involved. Last year it was mainly athletes and a few other clubs and organizations, but this year we really want everybody there. So the event is going to be on April 25th. 5th and 26th. It's a Thursday to Friday. It goes from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. and it will be in the Fitzgerald Gymnasium. So if you want more information about the event or how to contact me with questions or how to get signed up, we left some brochures and pamphlets up on the front desk right there. So thank you.
Thank you for that announcement about Relay for Life. Other announcements? Well, as we know, decision-making on undergraduate curriculum matters here at the Academic Senate has come to a standstill. We have before us an ethical dilemma about how to proceed at this time. There are issues about how we have proceeded until now and concerns about how to move forward. Such questions are neither simple nor straightforward. If they were, we would just apply existing rules and go on from there. Instead, we find ourselves facing an ethical dilemma that concerns what is best for our students who have not yet arrived on campus and how we reconcile the conflicting stances. This dilemma involves opposing views of how it may be best to move forward and involves issues of joint governance as well as conflicting faculty concerns about what curricular decisions are best for students who have not yet arrived on this campus. Our president, James Myskins, will now address this dilemma.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity. I just wanted to say a few words, and it's certainly an honor to be here before this august body. You know, in recent days, there's been so much criticism of higher education, and some of it may be deserved, but much of it is not, because So many of the people who make the criticism, I think, are looking at us in a very myopic way. They don't see the whole picture. There's so many wonderful things that happen and have happened over the years in higher education. And one of the reasons I'm convinced that higher education in America is so strong is the history, the tradition of shared governance. So with that, I appreciate this opportunity to just say a few words. I want to talk about the decisions you'll be making in a few minutes having to do with the curriculum. And I'll put my cards right on the table. I'm hoping you'll see fit to approve them. Now, the focus on what's in your packet, what you're voting on, is for spring 14 and beyond. Chairs are putting schedules together for the fall, and we have what we need to do that. The issue is, what will be there for students in the future? So our challenge is, can we develop the right mix and right range of courses for the students entering this fall and in subsequent semesters? So what I ask you to do as you think about your vote is to consider the interests and the welfare of the incoming students. Now, that's a group that's not represented here today, as Professor Brody mentioned. Now, the aim of the various curricular agenda items that you'll be voting on today is to offer a compelling and complete general education program for our incoming students. And as you all know, these courses, these agenda items, are the product of a lot of very hard, very good work by faculty across all departments here, across the entire college, and all the committees of the Senate that have been working on this for months. So whatever happens with the vote today, I want to thank everyone who has, under very trying circumstances, come up with what I consider to be a first pass at a general education curriculum, a Queens College general education curriculum that we can all embrace. Now, why do I say a first pass? Because curricula are fluid things. They keep changing. We can keep improving them. And we will need to continue to improve them, because a lot of what we had to do here has been in haste, because we need to move forward. But we'll look at it, we'll fix it, we'll make it better. I also want to remind you, as I have in several occasions as I've stood up here, is that the curricular items, such as the ones you'll be voting on today, are constructed on a very, very solid foundation of years of excellent work by our faculty and students in all these curriculum committees. As you well know, one of the first things I did as your new president a decade ago was to create a blue ribbon task force that would think about what is the best general education for Queens College. And I'm very proud of that report. We should keep reading it. It really did set a high standard for us and for all of those who would follow and work on it. We did a good job. Now, we had fits and starts. Changing curricula is perhaps the toughest thing we as an academic institution can do, because we care so much about it. Well, now I've served as your president for a decade, and so I think it's appropriate that from time to time, at least, if I have the time, to think about legacy. What is it that I want to be absolutely certain I leave for my successors? Well, top of that list is that we have a uniquely Queens College dynamic general education curriculum, a curriculum that will be owned by the faculty and will give all of our students a real edge as they graduate, whether they go to graduate school, law school, into the job market, whatever. That's the most important legacy any president can leave. Now, these last months have not been easy. That seemed often to be only a distant dream. In fact, I feel often like Don Quixote tilting at windmills. So many factors seem to be conspiring against us to achieve it. But let me tell you this, I have not given up. I won't give up. Here's what I believe. We can take the imposed framework of pathways. We can retain the genius and the perspectives and the analyses and good work of our prospective courses, those that we've already created. And seeing the talent we've brought to our institution, we can continue to develop courses that will build on that, that will really give us the kind of curriculum that Blue Ribbon Task Force, made up of distinguished faculty and students here, asked for and looked for 10 years ago. You know, I've been on the road lately, meeting with a lot of alumni. There's a common theme I hear from the alums. And that theme is, our faculty are second to none. Second to none in inspiring students to work hard and to achieve their potential. And what I was truly pleased to hear again and again, and I did not prompt this, our faculty have high standards. They have high expectations for students. So, as I meet with these alums and we reminisce about classes that they took, they still remember certain assignments, they remember discussions with faculty. These changed the trajectory of their lives. Now, we are not going to lose any of this if we move forward with the courses that you'll be deciding upon today. In the end, a course is the possession of the faculty member who teaches it. And I can assure you, the faculty will not allow our standards to go down or to teach to the lowest common denominator. And so, that's why I said before, I'm optimistic. I think we can do this. I have every confidence this will be a legacy that we leave for those who follow us. Now, I've asked Chris Vickery to show us where we are in the course approval process so that you'll know exactly what's at stake here. And we'll see in his presentation that for spring 14 and beyond, we really do need a wider range of courses than we now have, and that's what you'll be looking at. Also, you will see that what we have now upsets the equilibrium that we've established over the years. Over the years, the responsibility of delivering general education courses has been widespread. It's been essentially across all departments. What this does is requires a contraction and expansion, rapid contraction and expansion of certain departments. That is certainly going to be disruptive, and so I think it'd be important that we think about that and try to avoid that if we can. So Chris, if you'd come forward, after he's shown this, I'll be happy to take any questions if you have any.
Thank you, President Meiskens. I started with a diagram, which I don't know if you can read it, that there were copies handed out. I want to be sure you realize that before your eyes glaze over totally, that on the back all of the acronyms are spelled out so you know what this thing is doing. And this diagram is just showing you the path, I have to say it, the pathway that course proposals take as they go through the process from faculty submitting proposals for courses to the point that they actually can be scheduled and offered to students. And as President Meiskens said, this is we're working within a framework imposed by the university. And that framework appears on both sides of this diagram. And I would like to point out that on the right-hand side is supposed to be a representation of the CUNY First system, which is a CUNY-wide computer system. It's a database. And all of the curriculum information, all of the requirements satisfied by courses, all of the names of the students, their schedules, what is scheduled to be taught, who does what, all the administrative information is housed in this university-maintained database. And unless we get things in that database, we can only work with what is in that database. So we have to move things across to get them into the database in order, for example, to schedule courses. So departments know very well, you can only schedule a course if it has been approved by the Board of Trustees and entered into the CUNY First database. It's a simplification on that right-hand side because, in fact, there are extra steps that go through. The registrar is involved. The Office of Academic Affairs at CUNY is involved. But that's what we're aiming for. We want to get things into that database over on the right side. The left side is the constraint of pathways. And that's just simply a list of all of the requirement areas within the required and flexible core. I left out the part about the Queen's College option courses because that's not as much of a constraint for us. But those are the two big constraints. And I'd like to call your attention to the fact that at the when faculty propose courses, they propose courses to meet these requirements that are in the left-hand side of boxes, or they propose new courses, or they revise existing courses, sometimes because of pathways, sometimes just for separate reasons. So this is just to give you a sense of where things go as proposals go through. And you can see that in order to get over to the left, we go through the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee, which has three subcommittees, GAC, which I chair, a Writing Committee, and a Quantitative Reasoning Committee. And then once the Senate approves proposals, they go forward. If they're for a requirement, they go to this CUNY Core Review Committee. And if they're just a new course or a revision to existing course, they go through directly to the Board of Trustees. And that's kind of what we're dealing with. So where do we stand in this whole process? We've been collecting proposals since late last summer, early last fall. Once the Senate approved the implementation plan for pathways on March 31st, we started working on computer systems so people could put in these proposals. The left-hand set of bars shows you how many proposals have been submitted to the system. That's the tall blue bar. The number that the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee has approved, and then the low sort of, green, whatever that color is, bar, is how many have been approved by the Academic Senate. Of the ones that have been approved by the Academic Senate, virtually all have gone forward and been approved by the CUNY Core Review Committee. It's that drop between the red bar and the greenish bar, the lime green bar, that that you're addressing today. And that's really the issue. What you're looking at is the inventory of courses that will be available. Some of these could go in the fall, but as the president said, primarily courses that would be scheduled in the spring for students who arrive in the fall and then need to continue on from there. Then the rest of this chart is simply showing the distribution of where these proposals fall across all these different requirement designations is the terminology that the administrators use. Any questions about any of that? Stephen.
Stephen Grover, philosophy. So at the last meeting, we learned that Math 110 and English 110 had somehow hopped over the Senate box in this chart and gone directly to CCRC. Is that not the case?
I will say that Math 110 did, yes. English 110 was actually part of the implementation plan approved in March. So that's a debatable point whether that is a hopover or not. But yes, one of the 178 courses did circumvent the process shown in the previous step, because that course needed to be scheduled for the fall, and there was concern that it would not be available.
And but we're scheduling on the basis that other courses have been jumped over the Senate, too. We've been told in caucus to schedule on the assumption that courses...
I can't address that.
Okay, well, but if this diagram doesn't represent the only way in which courses find their way into the system, then it misrepresents. So I'd like the president to address that issue.
All right. He's going to address it. I'll finish my thing, okay? But it's clear what the information is that purports to be displayed. So these are some numbers. So is the I'm again getting these numbers from elsewhere. There are people who are administrators and an OCT who gather data from CUNY First, and this is data provided to the administration saying this is what we had. If you look at it, it says fall of 2012. The administration has to predict the future, what the demand will be for courses, based in large part, on what was available and what was used before. But you can see that we have incoming freshmen and we have transfer enrollments, and they're both very large numbers, thousands of students coming in. But the number of transfer students is a very significant portion of that. And the number of courses that were being taken in those days for perspectives was 207, and then it's pointing out that we have only about two-thirds of that available under the pathways rubric that we would move forward with as things stand. And finally, this is a projection trying to look into the future for the number of seats It's not just the number of courses, it's how big the courses are, how many students can be accommodated. You can have 10 great courses that only have 20 students each, and they don't do as much good for you as a larger course would. So this is the number of seats, sections times number of students per section that are available in these different categories. Again, pulling on the data that we've collected during the approval process and then projecting forward based on enrollments in past semesters. It's the best that's available. And the numbers, the sentences at the bottom, approximately one seat per incoming freshman in total, students complete six or more flexible core courses. We're looking at, if you have this number of students coming in, how many courses do they need to fulfill their gen ed requirements? They need six, about. Many of them take more than that. But they're not going to take them all the first semester, but they're not going to wait until later. They're going to take about a quarter of those per their semester in their first 2 years. So these are projections trying to see where we stand, where the shortfalls are. So I hope that just sort of gives you some perspective on where things stand. And with that, I'll let the president address Stephen's questions or whatever else.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, let me answer my colleague's question. The question was, on English 110 and Math 110, but it really applies only to Math 110. How did that get in? When we started this meeting, Professor Brody talked about the difficulty we all have here. We're faced with what we might call ethical dilemmas. We have various responsibilities. I've said from the outset in this exercise, I really want, as one of my core values, to respect the governance of this body, the shared governance I made reference to. I also have, as I mentioned in my remarks, another responsibility, and that is to make sure that the incoming students, who are not here to speak for themselves, will have the courses that they need in order to progress appropriately in their college education. Now, some of you may disagree with me on this, but I think if you don't start out with math as a freshman and you have to wait a year or two to take your basic math, we've disadvantaged you significantly. I could not allow that to happen. And therefore, my commitment to make sure I followed the recommendations of this body got trumped by a higher requirement, which was to make sure that those incoming students would have what they need in order to thrive at Queens College and have the very same experience that all you students right here have had as you've moved forward in the curriculum. Are there any other questions before we move on? Yes.
You just mentioned that our incoming students need that Math 110 course. Is that what you said? You said it's a required course?
I said I think it should be available to them, yes.
That course is only taken by a fairly small percentage of students here. Most people in the aspiration to satisfy the math requirement go into other courses, like algebra for pre-calculus, which is Math 115, or pre-calculus, which is Math 122, or they go into, as their first course, maybe Math 131, which is calculus for business students, or they start the regular calculus sequence at the fast track, which is Math 152, or the slow track, which is 141. So your statement was misleading and incorrect. It's not as if it's a requirement for all students to take Math 110. Many, many people do not take Math 110.
Okay, I did not say it was a requirement. I said it would be a good thing to have in the armamentarium that we're giving the students so that they're ready to move ahead. If you feel and your colleagues in math feel we don't need Math 110, that could save us a lot of cash.
I object to the circumventing of the Senate on curriculum math. And if it's done with Math 110, if you're circumventing this body on Math 110, then why not do it on everything? Why do you even come here today? Why do you need us? Circumvent us on everything. Look, if you're going to respect the academic senate and its right to rule on curricular matters, then you should respect us all the way. And it should apply not just to Math 110, but to all courses.
Dean Savage, College Wide at Large. Ron, you're not addressing the two horns of the dilemma. You're talking about the Senate's prerogatives. And sure, we're supposed to go ahead and pass on all of the curriculars that are the proposals that are coming down. But I didn't hear you say anything about the needs of the incoming students. Could you address that, please? All comes down to what you think should be the take precedence here. Should it be the needs of the students at this point, or should it be sticking your finger in the eye of the chancellery?
Could we see if we have any other questions? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Undergraduate Curriculum Committee.
I'd like to start with the minutes of November 8th, 2012, which are the pink sheets in your packet. Since the time these minutes were distributed, on page 6, items 7 and 8, on page 6, items 7 and 8, which are changes to French courses, we've been asked to withdraw those by the department, so they are not part of these minutes. And I'll start with asking.